The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And all across America, it's Red Eye Radio. And I am Rick Roberts, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's always a pleasure to be in for the guys when they're away. Love doing the show with Alan and Brian, and certainly with all of you. And if you want to track me down during the week, you can do that. After the third, I'll be back in my normal time slot. I do afternoon drive for News Talk, 820 WBAP. Out of Dallas, if you want to listen, just go to WBAP.com. All right, here we are. What are we, 24 hours away from a brand new year? Nothing wrong with that. you know, a lot of people say, well, this is what I'm going to do. These are my resolutions. Man, I quit doing that a long time ago. Yeah, that's a fool's errand as far as I'm concerned. What I do is I look back over the previous year and say, okay, I might have done this different or done that different or done this a different way. But as far as those New Year's resolutions, that's in my rearview mirror. I don't do that. But we're going to have what occurred over the course of the last 12 calendar months for you. We want to thank Westwood One, Bob Constantini for that. He does a great job with that stuff. And we've got some other correspondence as well that we'll be mentioning. How do I even get started in this? You know, hating Trump in 2018, I've got the top five most incredible, I mean, truly incredible liberal media quotes of the year. Do you know Tucker Carlson is under fire? Did you know that? They've targeted him to boycott advertisers, and like they did Laura Ingraham back in April, I think. And it may be having an effect, but hopefully, it's always been my experience when people do that because they don't like what you say, so much for the First Amendment, it always comes back to bite them in the butt. You know what I mean? It never truly, I'm not big on boycotts either. Remember back in the day, divorce big oil, divorce big oil. And of course, I'm not going to the Shell or Conoco or whatever it is. And the poor guy that's got the franchise, he's working a 16-hour day, and he's not making it off what he gets at the pump. The federal government gets a lion's share of that in taxes. He's the only guy that gets hurt. The guys in the ivory towers, they never feel it. So I'm not big on that. But hating Trump in 2018, Nancy Pelosi feels that she's going to be the new speaker, or the same old speaker. She's already hired, I don't know if you saw this today, but she's already hired a new lead attorney, and I guess some underling mouthpieces, to impeach Trump. More investigations. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you're not being represented in D.C. You know that, right? You're not being represented anywhere. I mean, when one of the two primary political parties, the only thing they're involved with is beating down the other guy. What are they doing for you exactly? And of course, the wall thing continues. I mean, that's going to continue for a while. I truly think Trump is going to stick to that. No spending bill without funding for the wall. And the Democrats, and actually, did you know there's already a bill? There's already a bill that Trump has said he'd probably sign if the Democrats could get their ducks in a row, but they're not going to. They are absolutely scared stiff of their far-left base, which are open-border advocates. So they're going to do as much as they can possibly do to keep that from happening. Now, that was in the news today. Other than that, there's not a whole lot. I mean, the news cycle for this time of year sort of grinds to a halt. You know that, right? I've got the five quotes. The five quotes that should bring back some memories, some bad, well, nightmares. These aren't necessarily the worst. I mean, that's hard to quantify, but how many times can journalists say Trump is crazy? Trump should be impeached. or Trump's like Hitler, before the luster starts to fade on this. These five quotes, they point to some great, structural problems with the media. Both news and entertainment media are so tragically dysfunctional. It's not surprising to any of us, I don't think, that even some liberals are calling for new regulations dealing with the media. I wouldn't necessarily be against that. Maybe that's what happens when you watch too much CNN and MSNBC. You just kind of go all fuzzy. Well, let me give you a couple of these, all right? We'll count down to the number one. Number five, remember this, spinning on his axis? The Trump presidency has been hard on the New York Times. There's no doubt about it, especially Paul Krugman. One election, was it election night? I think it was. He made this ridiculous prediction about global recession. Now, I don't know what this had to do with the news and reporting it, but it's what he thought. He's been saying goofy stuff ever since, but there's a difference between a goofy opinion and one that paints with a very broad brush America as evil. Krugman has gone so far as to condemn America's evil. This is what he said. He said there's a new axis of evil. Russia, Saudi Arabia, yes, and the United States. And, of course, you know, he's a big tweet freak, so everything he does is out on tweets. But let's look at that. Yeah, Russia's awful. So's China. Krugman's own newspaper reported back in the summer the United Nations human rights experts, they were more concerned about what they said were many credible reports that China had detained 1 million or more ethnic people because, well, they're from minority ethnic groups. That didn't move him too much, I don't think. The Saudi killing of the Washington Post contributing journalist, that was horrible. But it's horrible as well with Iran exports terror around the world, right? Then there's the USA. Krugman was upset simply because the U.S. didn't endorse a climate report. I don't know what we were thinking. Liberals seem absolutely beside themselves that most Americans don't consider climate change as a top priority. I don't know how you feel. It's not a priority for me. As a matter of fact, goofy Jerry Moonbeam Brown, which somehow, some way, it's got to be because the voters were too young to remember what a disaster he was the first time around. Of course, he's outgoing. Did you hear what he said today? He said climate change is as serious as the Nazis in World War II. You can't make stuff like this up. I mean, when you're an imbecile, or as I call him, a moron wrapped in an idiot. I mean, climate change is as serious as the Nazis in World War II? Really? Okay. How about this? Number four, you bet, journalist used to avoid becoming part of the story. Do you remember that? Do you remember when journalists reported the news and they tried to, you know, keep an arm's length distance so they wouldn't become part of the story? Well, at the very least, they tried to avoid showing how much they absolutely adored the liberals that they were interviewing. Well, that's gone. With Barack Obama's second coming of Camelot, that all went out the window. Well, now the new liberal love is with U.S. Representative Robert Francis Lucky Charms O'Rourke. He goes by the name Beto. I guess he thinks Hispanics can't read. He's a Democrat out of Texas. And believe it or not, he only lost to incumbent Ted Cruz by about 2.7%. O'Rourke was the darling of the media all year, even though he ended up losing to Cruz. It was a Senate run, obviously. O'Rourke was everywhere. Some on the left and in the media are already talking about the losing Senate candidate as presidential nominee. I'm not making it up. Oh, he's cool, he's hip, he rides a skateboard, and one of the best examples of journalists humiliating themselves came when I think it was ABC, Paula Ferris. She pretended to do an O'Rourke news story. Well, the result was more like a celebrity interview on Entertainment Tonight with Springsteen or maybe The Rock Johnson. The only real news to come out of it was when she couldn't contain herself. She called O'Rourke, "Oh, my gosh, you're a rock star," when he denied, "No, I'm not a rock star." She added, "No, no, you really are." Well, so much for journalism. If you're a journalism student, you might want to shy away from that. Number three, let's all demonize Republicans, shall we? The left opposed the nomination of Supreme Court Brett Kavanaugh. That, to me, was probably the worst example of trying to emotionally and politically tar and feather a man I've ever seen. I mean, that was such a visceral reaction. It brought out a lot of feminist rage. One of the most demented examples came from, what's her name, Jill Polovic, isn't that it? Unhinged her Twitter rant. She started with just four words: divorce your Republican husbands. Remember that? Hillary Clinton even said it. If you were a woman and you voted for a Republican, it's because you were kowtowing to your male husband or possibly your boss. The reaction on Twitter was an immediate and very critical response. Rather than delete, she just kept it going. Divorce your Republican husbands. Okay. Then she gave this more rationally stated defense. You don't deserve a female partner if you support men who mistreat women, personally or political. And by the way, these were all accusations. There was never any evidence. This response, it's kind of amazing how sensitive and thin-skinned you all are. Well, the best thing about her tweet is that it showed how the left now wants to make every aspect of life, even marriage, a political background. We've still got the two top ridiculous, unhinged left statements of the year, and I'll give that to you in just a second. This is Rick Roberts. Great to be in for the guys. Great to be with you on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Carley. I'll give you the talk lines, 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Always great to be with you. We're down to the last two, the top five most incredible liberal media quotes of the year. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I'm sure you could add to some. But this is... you got to go with this, don't you? I mean, you truly do. After Beto, it was let's demonize Republicans. Number two, and we're counting down to number one, it's not America if CNN doesn't like it. Just that simple. You couldn't make a list of any of these embarrassing media quotes and leave out CNN's chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta. I mean, he spent most of the year saber-rattling with Trump and his supporters, but it was August 1st. I only remember this because August 2nd is my birthday. August 1st, his appearance on Headline News stood out as being especially bad. He was reporting from, I think it was Tampa, Florida. It was a Trump rally, and he complained and whined and soiled himself that the president was whipping these, and I'm quoting here, whipping these crowds up into a frenzy to the point where they really want to come after us. He was talking about the news people. Well, it got worse. He said, honestly, it felt like we weren't in America anymore. I don't know how to put it any more plainly than that. Americans should not be treating their fellow Americans this way. So, let me see. Let's see if I can get this right. I got a few degrees. Don't know if I'm any smarter than I would have been. But let me see if I can boil this down. A place where people disagree with CNN reporters isn't America anymore, Jim? Is that what you're saying? Okay. So according to Jim Acosta, you know, let's forget the old dust up at the White House press briefing room. But if you disagree with CNN, then you disagree with their reporters. this is not America anymore. Just absolutely off the rails. And then finally, what's a little violence among friends, right? Anybody that goes out to the street to protest is, well, he's exercising his or her constitutional right. Anyone who goes out in the street to violently silence someone else is a punk thug. Unless, of course, CNN is doing the talking. It was Don Lemon, famous for appearing. Remember when it looked like he had a few brews? Yeah, he seemed to be a little tipsy, and then getting a piercing live during the New Year's Eve show. Well, he gave one of two spirited CNN defenses of thugs. Lemon was worse because he took a more obvious swing at rationalizing violence. I guess he's gone to the Maxine Waters School of Violence. I don't know. First, he talked about how Trump was racist for criticizing Antifa. Antifa! Even though it's filled with white liberals, then came the defense of the Antifa rant. He, and I'm quoting, it says right there in their name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they're fighting. Listen, you know, no organization is perfect. Yeah, the KKK, yeah, a little wacky, but no organization's perfect. There's some violence. No one condones the violence, but there are different reasons for Antifa and these neo-Nazis to be there. You know, one racist, fascist, the other group fighting racist, fascist, there's a distinction. And I would just advise, for what it's worth, Mr. Lemon, when you say no one condones the violence, you follow that with the word but, well, then you are one of the people condoning violence. I mean, it was just a sea of mistakes all year long. You know, somebody asked me, what was the worst thing I remember? And I don't know why, but Maxine Waters keeps coming to mind. I mean, this woman is absolutely, in my opinion, Looney Tunes. And the only thing I worry about more than her, if you see him on the street, if you see him at a restaurant, get a group together, start, blah, 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 blah. The only thing worse than her attitude are the people that support her. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand that? I think Maxine Waters is right up there. Of course, Cory Booker, he's not too far. Wait a minute, Rick, they're both black. Are you a racist? No, they just are very goofy people. That's all there is to it. And Lemon and Acosta and all the rest. Do you think this is going to get better next year? Do you really think the media is going to ratchet it back and say, okay, let the guy get through one term? Nancy Pelosi is betting that he doesn't even get through his first term in office, to the point she hired, I don't know whose money she used, she's got plenty, she has hired a point attorney to try and impeach the president. Now, your national forecast brought to you by Cobra Electronics.
A winter storm is taking shape for New Year's Eve. It will bring more heavy rain and a renewed flood threat. The Carolinas will be drenched, as will the North and the rest of the East, later on New Year's Day. But temperatures will be mild in much of the Southeast in the 60s and 70s, and in the 40s in the Northeast, as New Year's Eve revelers welcome 2019. Rain will spread northward into much of the Mid-South, Ohio Valley, and Mid-Atlantic during the afternoon today, while cold air and snow are in store for the upper Midwest and across the Four Corners. A few strong thunderstorms are also possible in the lower Mississippi Valley. Rain will spread into the Northeast during the last few hours of the new year, and parts of northern New England might see rain change over to a rain and snow mix by late Monday. Winds will be gusty across much of the northern and central plains, and in the Northeast, winds will pick up by late in the day. And that's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Christopher, thank you so much. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I'm Rick Roberts.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thanks so much. Always a pleasure to be in for the guys. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I gave you, I don't know, what some people consider the top five most ludicrous statements made by journalists. Here's the thing. Journalism, by the way, if you're a journalism student, find something else. Journalism is dead. It's basically crossed over into entertainment news. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with the news. It used to be the who, what, when, where, and why, and let you figure it out. That everybody's got an agenda now. Everybody's got an opinion. So, you know, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure if Trump's going to be able to finish his first term without being impeached. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and I think Chuckie Schumer, you might be able to deal with, but I'm not sure. I'm not even sure if he's going to get through the first term without being hit with impeachment proceedings. I mean, that seems to be all the Democrats are involved with at this point, which seems rather odd to me. But I would think, as much as the party is fractured, that they would want to go out and bolster their voting blocks. Something other than, of course, inviting illegals to come in. But you have to understand this. This whole border fence, wall, whatever it is, this is what Democrats are using to appeal to the far, far left, which they need. They need, if they're going to win anything, they need that. They need very young people, people without a lot of life experience, people that don't have those high water marks, those benchmarks. And they believe that no human being is illegal, therefore no country should have a border, not realizing no country has been able to exist without creating and maintain borders. I mean, this is an open border issue. Even Robert Francis Lucky Charms O'Rourke, you know, he's hinted around that he doesn't believe necessarily that borders work that well. Okay. But make no mistake, that's what this is about. It's about open borders. And I mean, if you really sit and think about it for a while, you have to sit and think about it on the basis of what would this country look like with no borders? And it's kind of hard to wrap your head around it, isn't it? It's sort of like, what would your home look like after about 30 days with no front or back doors? Just take them off the hinges, store them in the garage, I guess. No doors. You need to even get rid of the windows, I guess. What would your home look like in about 30 days? Well, what would your country look like with no borders whatsoever? Because that's what the far left want. That's what they're shooting for. You know, you can go back and forth. Is it going to be a concrete wall? Is it going to be a barbed wire fence? Is it going to be is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? What would your country look like? I'm not playing with you. I'm being sincere, because I have yet to hear one journalist approach anyone and say, hey, look, I get you don't like the borders, you don't like family separation, I guess you want the kids to go to jail with the parents. What is it exactly you want this president to do, or any president for that matter? Do you want to just erase the border, north and south borders, the ports of entry on both coasts? Where's the upside in that? How do you maintain that? Is that even possible? But nobody is asking the question. They can't. Instead, we're more worried about those things in our nation's history that we're feverishly trying to airbrush out so we're not uncomfortable. You know, and it goes hand in hand. You know, this was long before my time, but, you know, I've seen the movie, the old version of the movie, the night, what was it, 1940, the Philadelphia story. It opens with a case of domestic assault, and that's played for laughs, by the way. Cary Grant shoves Katharine Hepburn to the ground by her face, And of course, you know, it's all in good fun. Everybody's laughing. Well, you know, 80 years later, the movie is clearly two things to a lot of people. Uneasy for a post-hashtag Me Too culture. And it's also an enduring American classic, right? It's far from the only example of these things. They exist throughout society's pop culture. From movies to TV, can you imagine Archie Bunker, All in the Family, being put on primetime TV now? You wouldn't be able to get to the studio from all the lawsuits. Pieces of work that have withstood time's passage, but that contain actions, maybe words, depictions, scenarios about race, gender, sexual orientation, that we don't deal with anymore. All right, in Dallas, for instance, Robert E. Lee statue stood there forever. Well, you know, if we get rid of the statue, which they did in the darkness of night, they removed this huge statue. He was sitting atop his horse. I think the horse's name was Traveler. I'm not sure. There was another Confederate soldier behind him on a horse. Anyway, they found some way to uproot this thing and hit it away. And magically, I guess that was supposed to get rid of racism. Well, I broadcast out of Dallas, and I can tell you it has not erased racism. Remember the blackface minstrel shows? Remember Bing Crosby's Holiday Inn? Even Abu on Simpson? Well, I mean, now they're having conversations. What do we do about that? You don't do anything. You don't do anything. What exactly do you do with all this stuff today? Do you simply discard it, give it away, give it a free pass as a product of maybe a, I don't know, less enlightened group of people? Is there some way to both acknowledge and value it, yet still view it with more critical eyes? Well, look, you know, you can't airbrush history out of history. It's there. It's there. You can't get rid of it. You know, just like in Dallas, well, if we get rid of all the Confederate monuments, then somehow, some way, we'll prove to everybody that we don't believe in slavery. Nobody believes in slavery. Well, what are you talking about? All right. Let's go to, it's Ralph in New Jersey. Ralph, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Ralph?
Thank you for taking my call, by the way, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year
and
to you.
Many happy return. Best wishes, too. Now, you know, I don't know if it's a rhetorical question you ask, what does an open border look like? I would not that like to believe that it is a rhetorical question you ask, but one only need to take a look at, you know, what's going on in Europe, what's playing out, what's unfolding over in Europe. I name you three countries, okay, and how, you know, mass invasion, open border has an impact socially and culturally throughout the entire continent of Europe. Germany, for one, England and France for another. You know, is that a very nice scenario unfolding right there right now?
No, it's an absolute mess. I mean, people often draw on Scandinavian countries and European countries as a tit for tat, a barometer, you know, not realizing, you know, Europe is not that big by contrast to America. But without borders, I mean, there are places in France now that the cops won't even go. I mean, it's a total mess. You know, just ask Merkel. I mean, talk about a grandiose mistake, thrown the company or the country into chaos. You know, the United States used to be very unique in the sense that the way it was founded, its separation from England, we fought a war over it. It's not unique anymore. You know, the free to be you and me, hug a tree, hipsters sitting on the corner drinking little teeny cups of very strong coffee, you know, the ones that are too smart for their own good, seem to have everything figured out. You know, the working man and woman in the flyover states in the United States, they've been all but forgotten until this president came along. I mean, they're the glue that holds this thing together. You know, for the life of me, I can't see. I mean, I worry greatly. I have kids. I have grandkids. I have no clue. If they were to ask me, they're not old enough now, but if they were to ask me, You know, what are things going to look like in another 20, 30 years? I don't have a clue. I can't tell you. I've heard some things politically since Trump has been elected that I thought I would never hear. I've seen non-representing representatives. I've seen leaderless leaders. At the end of the day, the only people suffering are the citizens, the people that are supposed to be served. You know, I have seen one of the two primary political parties give up theology for politics. That is their theology now. You know, anything justifies the end if they get to keep their seat at the table of power. I don't think most of us run our lives like that. I don't think we want representatives that run their lives like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You make Ralph in New Jersey brings up a very good point. You want to see how bad it can be in America? Look at Europe. You know, consider that on steroids based on our size. I mean, it's already in California on Cinco de Mayo. You wouldn't even know you were in America, you know, based on the flags and the celebrations and so on. And by the way, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican independence. It's for the Battle of Puebla, where Mexicans stood off a bunch of folks. Anyway, at the end of the day, I truly am concerned about this new year. You know, normally you say, okay, it's a new year. We got a fresh start, a blank slate. Not politically, it's not. I don't think the government shutdown is going to be lifted until Trump gets at least part of what he wants. He promised Americans that during his campaign, and I think people have been in his ear. Hey, you can't walk away from this. This is what got you elected. And at the end of the day, when the Democrats are hammering Trump, they're really hammering their fellow Americans, the people they say they serve. So, you know, looking back, it's kind of humorous, like we started the show, it's kind of humorous to take a look at all the nonsensical things that came out of the news people's mouths, but there is no journalism. There is no news. You know, I had the rare privilege of sitting down with Walter Cronkite for over an hour at a radio station in Dallas, this was many years ago, and he basically said, news has become an entertainment product. And he's right. There is no who, what, when. I mean, seriously, when you go to get the news, you don't turn on the 5 o'clock news. You certainly don't pick up a newspaper. Everything's got a built-in agenda, a built-in narrative. And if the news story doesn't present it, well, through the editorializing of that piece, it's injected. So, I mean, I know how tough it is for me to prep to do a daily show. You know, when I first started in this business, I mean, you know, getting the news of the day was pretty easy. Not anymore, because I don't know what's real and what's fake. And yes, fake news is a real thing. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Always a pleasure to be in with you when the guys are away. And I want to give a shout out to some of the stations that I've made a stop or two at. Denver, Colorado, KHAL, 6:30 a.m. Kansas City, great talk radio town, 7:10 a.m. KCMO. Of course, San Diego for almost 17 years at 7:60 a.m. KFMB, great radio station. And, of course, now I do the afternoon drive at News Talk, 820 WBAP out of Dallas. So if you're tuning around some afternoon, I'm with you every day, Monday through Friday from 2 to 5 Central Time. Just tune in to or just dial up KFMB.com, and we'll get together. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines now. Going to step aside very quickly, then 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. As I said, I don't make a lot of New Year's resolutions. Just don't do it. Instead, I look back and say, okay, what would I have done differently? Or how could I have done something differently? Or maybe in a different way. That's what I do. When it comes to politics, I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. Pelosi today announced that they hired a lead attorney to take up what she called the possibility of impeachment. You know, the question is, do you think Trump is even going to finish his first term? Forget about running in 2020. I mean, with the media and the Democrats and some in his own party, is this guy even going to be able to finish his first term? 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Rick Roberts. We'll get your calls in just a second on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Great to have you along once again, Rick Roberts, with you when the guys are away. If I can get away of where I normally reside, News Talk 820 WBAP out of Dallas. Man, I can't wait to get over here. It's always a great time with Alan and Brian and certainly all of you. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Let's get to your calls. Jason in Las Vegas. Jason, thank you for your patience.
I'm not a doctor. I don't have any patients, but that's a bad joke.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Can you hear me? Okay. Listen, I'm probably 180 degrees from your political beliefs, but I'm retired, and I was in law enforcement in a federal agency, which I won't go into. But I'm getting sick and tired of hearing the extreme right using one or two, like a police officer is killed by an illegal alien, Kate Steinle is killed by an illegal alien, two or three out of thousands. And what upsets me is being a police officer, that's one about 0.1% are killed by illegal aliens. The rest are killed by American citizens. The worst call a policeman can have is a domestic violence call. They fear that the most because more policemen are killed by family squabbles and domestic violence, and it's just very few. And and they're using this as a political hammer. If one or two people are killed by an illegal alien, it's terrible, and I'm sorry for these people. But it's like one half of 1%.
Okay, hang on a second. I know what you're right about domestic violence. I was raised by my grandfather, which was the high sheriff of Sedgwick County. All my relatives, aunts, uncles, retired from Rampart in L.A. Others are in federal agencies, you're right, which we don't talk about. So I've seen both sides of it, and I've raised way too much money on the air for the families of fallen officers. I get what you're saying, but I don't understand the point. What's the point?
Well, the point is it's being used as a political hammer. If one person is killed by an illegal alien, they try to make the people think that they're all coming in the country is going to kill them, all their family members.
Are deaths by illegals preventable?
Probably not. Are deaths by American citizens preventable?
Okay, you're answering a question with a question. And you said you're retired former law enforcement, so I know you're smarter than that. Are deaths from illegal aliens preventable?
Not 100%.
Well, nothing's 100%. You and I both know that. But if you create and maintain a border, are deaths at the hands of illegal aliens preventable? That's my question.
Well, you can't keep 100% out. And most of them aren't criminals, but the one or two may be. But what I'm saying is, can you prevent deaths from American citizens? Because most police officers, 99.9%, are killed by American citizens. bank robbers, crooks,
okay,
domestic violence.
Okay, so what is the point? Just open the borders because it doesn't make any difference?
No. The point is I'm tired of the argument being used as a hammer. We're all being killed by illegal aliens.
Okay,
with
all due respect, Jason, and I mean that, I immerse myself in the news and the backstories every day for 8-10 hours a day, every week, every month, month after month for about 26 years. I don't see deaths at the hands of illegal aliens being used by a hammer. Maybe I'm not looking at it right.
It is since Trump's gotten to office.
Okay. And Trump doesn't have anything to do with it, and Trump didn't have anything to do with the wall. The Democrats voted for barriers in 2003, 2009, and 2011.
He has nothing to do with the wall, and why does he keep saying I will?
Okay, you're not listening. You're not listening. You have a preconceived idea about Trump. Therefore, anything connected to Trump is bad. The fact is, and I wish I had it with me. Tune into my show during the week sometime and ask the call screener to play it for you. Schumer, Pelosi, Obama, Hillary, they all said exactly the same thing that Trump is saying right now at various points over the years, going back to 2009, which is only 9 years ago. I'll tell you what, Jason, tune into the weekday show and I'll play that for you. I mean, let's be honest. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, amnesty. You know, is that truly what the Democrats want? No, they don't want amnesty. They don't care about a wall. They want to do anything they can to derail this presidency. I mean, there's what, 800,000 DACA recipients? And I know that they're all being painted to be valedictorians, Medal of Honor recipients, amnesty proponents, extend those characterizations to legal immigrants over and over and over again. Do I think that's a hammer? No, I think it's fake news. I mean, before you start down that road, all you have to do is look at the numbers. I mean, you go back to the biggest study that was done about 8 or 9 years ago. You have to grapple with some facts regarding illegal immigrants and crime. Unfortunately, almost every public official not named Jeff Sessions guards against disclosure of illegal immigrant crime. Look at 2011. General Accounting Office. They did a study on criminal aliens incarcerated in state jails and prisons. According to the GAO, in 2009, 295,000, almost 296,000 criminal aliens, of whom approximately 250,000 are illegals, were incarcerated in state jails and prisons. That's a 40% and 25% increase. Now, if you want to break it down into murder, you can do that, too. The numbers are there. And why is that accurate? Why is it important? The Department of Justice has to, and I'm sure you do know this, they reimburse states for 65%, states, cities, 60%, and counties for 80% of correctional salary costs associated with illegals. So according to DOJ officials, you know, that's a methodology that was developed based on an analysis that the former Immigration and Naturalization, the INS, conducted in, 2001. I mean, I don't know that anybody's hammering anybody, but a death at the hands of an illegal should be preventable. Or at least slowed down a little bit with a border wall, a border fence, border security. I mean, you name it. I mean, use the Department of Justice's own metrics. It appears that approximately, almost 90,000 criminal aliens incarcerated in state prisons out of a total of 91,000 were in the country illegally. Using the same metrics, about 146,000, I don't know, it varies, were incarcerated in local jails out of a possible 204,000. I mean, you can't ignore it. You may not like it. There are a lot of things that come out of D.C. I don't like either. So, and when it comes to in Arizona, I mean, pick Arizona. I only know this because Jan Brewer was trying to codify a federal law because the feds wouldn't do their jobs in getting these people out of their state. You know, little over 250 illegal aliens were imprisoned for homicide. In 2009, there were 3,000 total inmates incarcerated in Arizona state prisons for homicide. They broke it down. You know, that's one state, 250 homicide convictions. I mean, I'm sorry, with a wall, with a fence, with something, I think you could drop that. You could drop it. But you are right. The most dangerous call a cop can get is domestic disturbance because people are absolute fools. They're nuts. Good call, Jason. I appreciate it. And I'm serious. If you want to hear the Chuck Schumer, Pelosi, Hillary, Obama say exactly the same thing Trump is saying, you call me during the show, tell my call screener who you are, and what I promised you, I'll play it for you. Dolores in Dallas. Dolores, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Dolores?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I have a suggestion. I don't know if it could be brought to fruition or not, but I think that anyone in favor of open borders should try to enter a European country without a passport.
Well, the problem with the open border crowd, Dolores, is that most of them haven't traveled outside their own zip code. Their entire world revolves around the little area that they work, recreate, raise their families. You know, that's the same reason we got pacifists that think, well, if you're just nice to them, they'll be nice to you. You know, I worked in the Middle East in the oil and gas business a long time. And if you showed the slightest bit of fear or, I mean, they use that against you. The culture is not the same. So you can't pretend it is. And if you're nice to somebody in the Middle East, generally speaking, in business, they use it against you.
Right, right. Well, I've traveled to a lot of different countries over my lifetime, and I have yet to enter someplace other than the United States. Well, you can't even get back into the United States without a passport.
So. Yeah. Well, if things keep going the way they have been going in 2018, looking ahead to 2019, I don't know how many people would want to come here in the first place. I don't mean to be, yeah, I do. I mean to be serious about it. I mean, some things have to change. You know, the inmates have been running the asylum for way too long, and most of them are Democrats. This is Rick Roberts in for the guys on Red Eye Radio.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on top issues facing commercial drivers. We are 1 year in from the ELD compliance date, yet it remains a top issue for drivers. The American Transportation Research Institute lists it as the number three concern among drivers in 2018. Hopefully, drivers are, by now, comfortable with ELDs, but it's important to have the following items on hand in case of a malfunction or you are stopped by a law enforcement official. A user manual. An instruction sheet that explains how to transfer hours of service info to law enforcement officials. An instruction sheet describing ELD record-keeping malfunctions, and 8 days worth of blank driver's records of duty status forms. While your ELD experience might be smooth so far, technology sometimes has other ideas. Make sure these items are in your truck before you hit the road for every trip. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. I'm Rick Roberts, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. And by the way, Eric and Gary will be back with you Tuesday night. All right, so be looking for that. If you're looking for a list of stations where you can hear Red Eye, maybe podcast or the listen live to the full 5-hour show, you can do that on the app or on the listen live button at Red Eye Radio Show. That's redeyeradioshow.com. All right, here's the talk line, 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED. I just realized it. This is the last show for 2018, isn't it? I'll be darned. 866-907-3339. We'll get your voice in on the last show for 2018. Before the guys get back on Tuesday, let's go to Richard in New York City. Richard, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. How are you doing, Richard?
Very good, sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I am retired from the NYPD. You just had a guy who's retired federal agent. I don't want to smear nobody, but he said that cops are killed on domestic disturbances. One out of three cops killed nationwide are killed on car stops. That's the most, not domestic disturbances. He doesn't know anything more about answering a 911 call for a domestic disturbance than you do. Somebody dials for domestic disturbance, the FBI or any other federal agent is not showing up. They're not the police. They're not going to pull your mother out of a burning car wreck. They're not going to answer the 911 call when Granny gets beaten with a pipe in a doorway and they lose a handbag and a watch. I came from Midtown South, the busiest precinct in the world. I worked in the Midtown South anti-crime unit. It was the best anti-crime unit, plainclothes, in the planet. We answered this stuff. I went to domestic disturbances all night long. Car stops is one out of three. One out of three nationwide, all cops killed are killed in a car stop. A federal agent is the exact opposite of the police. The police, I have an incident, I do an investigation, I make arrests based upon probable cause. The federal agent is the exact opposite. They sit in an office, wait for attack orders, and they have a person, they stick a microscope up his behind and investigate him until they come up with something on him. It's a 180-degree turnaround from what the police do. I'm not sure. I used to play golf every Monday back in the 90s with two Treasury agents, young guys. They wanted to come hang out with me when I'm on Bethpage Black so they can hear war stories about what police actually do. These two guys sat in an office all day long, and the only thing they did was go through paperwork trying to jam up Chinese gangs for taxes. This is Elliot Ness.
You sound like a good friend of mine, Nick Novello, from the Bronx. He's a Dallas Police Department officer. He's been with the force, I think, for 30 years. And he and I are working together on trying to get the word out about response times because Dallas, believe it or not, you know, this isn't Brush, Colorado. It's a pretty big city. Is 1,000 police officers short. And, you know, they couldn't retain cops because they could go 25 miles down the road to a suburb and make $12,000 more a year. But that's because we've got a ridiculously liberal mayor. We finally got him to pay the cops more. Now we're trying to get him to hire more so they can, you know, it took an hour and 20 minutes to respond to a murder call. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that, look, everybody's got their opinion. My daughter's opinion is her husband shouldn't go anywhere without somebody with him. Well, sometimes that happens. He's a canine officer. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it doesn't. And she gets very upset. And I said, sweetheart, you knew what you signed up for when you got into this. Listen, I appreciate the call very, very much. Don't be a stranger. Let's go to Ron in Little Rock, Arkansas. Ron, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Ron?
Doing fine, Rick. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell you that I've been listening for the past 4 or 5 days, and I found you by mistake, but you got more common sense than anybody on radio. I'm honest. I mean, you have Rush Limbaugh and all them, they're different, but you tell it just like it should be.
Those are very kind words. I learned a long time ago in this business, and I try to tell new guys getting into it, you know, don't emulate somebody else, be yourself, whatever you are.
Right.
So that's.
But I told everybody in my life that if I could bottle common sense in 12-ounce bottles, I'd be bigger than Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
you know,
that's probably true.
And I just so appreciate you work in Dallas market.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And that's a morning show?
It's an afternoon drive. I work
afternoon drive.
WBAP okay. From 2 to 5.
2 to 5. Can I find you on the internet?
Absolutely. Just look for, as a matter of fact, all you have to do is type in Rick Roberts, WBAP. I'm right there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, but I want to say Jason needs some of that 12-ounce common sense.
Jason?
Yeah, the call you took earlier.
Oh. Well, you know what? You know what I've figured out? I've figured out that people are a product of their environment. That's how they filter everything. You got to look past that from time to time. This is Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
Are open 1-866-907-3339 866-90-RED-EYE. Now for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
Thank you so much for being along. I appreciate that very, very much. And thanks to Gary and Eric for allowing me to sit in when they're away. It's always a pleasure. And the phone lines are open 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry in Little Rock, Arkansas. Jerry, how you doing?
Hey, Rick. I guess you got some people listening to you here in Little Rock.
You know, my producer came from Little Rock. She was with me for 15, 16 years, and she's from Little Rock.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to talk about the fact that a lot of people are just not exposed or not educated enough on what illegal immigration actually does economically, socially, as far as raising the crime rate in the area that they're in, because they just don't know and they don't take time to research it. Unless they're directly affected by it, they just don't know. I mean, I'm in the construction business, and I've got a broadcasting background, but I'm in construction. And I can remember when I lived in Dallas in the mid-'80s, the Dallas Morning News came out with an article talking about how, and I'm not trying to be racist, so I don't want anybody trying to take it that way. This is just a fact. There was a lot of guys with families, and they were white or black, and the illegal immigrants were coming in, and unfortunately, they are what they are. They're Latino, they're Mexican. Okay? So they come in, they work cheaper, the contractors grab them up. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make more money because my labor is going to cost is just going to go down. So you got guys with families and houses and trying to make a living and pay their mortgage, and they can no longer get a job because someone else is going to work for $3 or $4 cheaper than them. And it happened in the Dallas area. I was a firsthand witness of it. And I don't know if you can go into archives, but it was in the Dallas Morning News. Now, modern day, it's still the same thing. These guys come in. They work for your $4 cheaper than the average tradesman, which it ends up being skilled labor and not skilled tradesman wages. There's a difference.
No,
there's skilled labor.
Look,
there's a different pay scale for someone that you consider a skilled tradesman.
No, there's no doubt, you know, broadcasting out of San Diego for just about 16 years with KFMB, great radio station there. You could fill up, you could line up 50 mass transit buses and fill them up when as quickly as you had time with day workers. And these day workers, some are masons, some are rough out, some are finished carpenter, whatever it happens to be, but they're making.
And they have just enough experience to get the job done, but all the experience that it took a gentleman or someone such as myself 20, 25 years to master. These guys come in and do just enough to get that contractor's job done.
Yeah, but Jerry, hang on. Look at it this way. You know, I don't fault some guy from, you know, walking across the San Ysidro border for the day with his lunch pack to try and bring some money home to feed his family.
Oh, yeah.
The people I have a problem with are the unscrupulous employers here in America that hire the cheap labor, knowing that they're exploiting people and hurting the economy at the same time.
Exactly. They're hurting the economy of the people that have worked their butts off for 20 or 30 years to learn their trade and to make earn a living for themselves and maybe eventually have a piece of the American dream if they can afford it at the price they're being paid anyways. They're screwing the whole economy up.
Now, listen, you don't get an argument from me.
The American economy is going down the tubes over this stuff.
You don't get an argument from me on that. I mean, if and here's the sad, truly sad truth about this. If Democrats really cared about illegal immigration, and I'm going to say it, if Republicans truly cared about illegal immigration, they'd be hitting these unscrupulous employers, I mean, every single hour of every day. They don't, because there's no political will to stop it up until the time Trump got in office. So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
They work hard. I'm not going to dispute that. But the facts, they just don't go through. They're not. How do I say this? When you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you break into a trade and you've been in it for 20 or 30 years and you watch your ability to earn an income go down and not up.
You know, listen, Jerry, I hear the same story thousands of times. Where are the representing representatives? Where are the leaders that are supposed to be leading? They're nowhere to be found on the issue of illegal immigration until Trump took office. I mean, the Democrats were trying to create new voting blocks, and the Republicans, not all, but some, were wanting the cheap labor for big corporate donors. I mean, I was born at night, but not last night. It doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out what's going on.
I just recommend a guy. I say, look, go into the service, or if you're not going to go to college, go into electrical or plumbing. Because the drywall trades and the painting trades and the brick trades, the masonry trades, they're going down.
Well, Jerry, listen, I'm going to wish the best for you in this coming new year, 2019. And let's hope that we can come to some conclusion on this political hot potato, which is illegal immigration. Democrats don't care about these people in the caravan. Democrats don't care about whether there's a wall or a fence or a moat with alligators. They don't care about any of that. They care about what political one-upsmanship they can get on Republicans. And Republicans, to some degree, feel the same way. The only person that's not playing a game with us is Trump. He said, well, I said I was going to do it. I'm going to do it. You know, he doesn't realize there's a game to be played in D.C. Everybody's beholden to somebody else. He doesn't play the game. He doesn't need the money. He's got a bigger house. So the only reason he's doing this is because he said he would, and he thinks it's a good idea for the American people. Democrats don't want this. It's the underpinning of a voting bloc. It's an underpinning for potential wins, whether it's Congress or the Senate or the White House. I mean, why do you think they're trying so hard to turn the state of Texas blue? If they could ever do that, and they just about did with Robert Francis Lucky Charms O'Rourke, known as Beto, if they can do that with the electoral votes here in California, they got a lock on the White House for as long as they want it. Hey, listen, Jerry, I know it's double tough, man. You just got to keep doing the right thing. Eventually, you got to believe that it's going to come around. I appreciate the call. Happy New Year, Jamie in Nashville, Tennessee. Jamie, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Jamie?
Oh, fine, sir. Thank you. I've had a good time listening in.
Thank you.
Thank you. What I do for a living, I drive a semi, and this goes back to one of the other callers and to many other Americans listening. I always hear this. I've heard it in the media for a long time. They always say, well, Americans kill more Americans. Well, okay. It's based on the word illegal, Now, I drive a semi, and I'm allowed 11 hours a day to actually drive. And that's it. So anything over 11 hours, if someone's drinking, if someone runs me over and they die and it's not my fault, the law enforcement is going to say, Jamie, you should not have been there, or that person that was just under the influence would have never died. So now it falls back on me because we have laws in our country that you have to abide by. So I'm responsible for that person's death, even though they were drunk, even though whatever happened, because I'm over my 11 hours. I should have never been in that area and on that part of the interstate or highway. And the same thing goes for the illegal. If they would have never been here, then that person would have never died. And that's what it boils down to. Is that?
Well, that's what I was trying to get the guy to answer. A death in America at the hands of illegals, is that preventable? Well, nothing's 100%. Well, that's not really an answer.
That's not a good answer.
If you create and maintain a border, no, nothing's 100%, but you're certainly going to slow it down. You drive for a living. I mean, look at all those Mexican trucks coming out of Mexico. Good Lord.
It's gotten worse. I've been doing this. I'm 47. I started driving when I was 21. So I've seen a lot of changes, and you see it every day. I mean, you get on the radio on the CB, and they can't even give you a shout back because half of them, their English is not where it ought to be.
Well, you know, look, any time I go on the air and I, you know, give statistics, not my statistics, that's what it is, then always I start getting hate mail. You hate Mexicans, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that. Wait a minute. I'm an American. Can I be proud of my heritage, proud of my culture, welcoming to those people that want to come here and assimilate, going through the proper channels? I think I can, without being a racist or a bigot. If you want to, I mean, think about it. You come to this country, the first thing you do, I mean, the first, is you break a law. Well, immigration laws aren't the same. Well, then why do they exist? Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, you're a driver. You see it probably more than anybody else.
Right. I can't be like the old Clintons and say, well, my intent was not to kill somebody. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah.
You broke the law, and you're going to pay for it.
What is
and,
is.
And, you yeah. know, it goes, and you were talking about Texas going purplish blue. I go to Texas a lot. I got a lot of guy friends down there. And this past fall, I'm like, what are y'all doing in Texas? Is it for the bleed over from other areas or remain? I listen to the news out of Dallas and San Antonio, and I made a joke last year when they were covering up all of what was going on with the Civil War and like this, and I said it wouldn't be long before they said the Alamo was awful.
Hey, you got people talking about that already, Jamie.
Yeah, they were talking about it a month later. I called my wife on the phone and said, "You're not going to believe what I heard in San Antonio."
Yep.
And that's what they were talking about. And I said, my goodness.
Yeah, we as a matter of fact, here in Dallas, we're looking at one lawmaker introducing legislation just to save the Confederate War memorials. Evidently, if you're for saving that part of history that not everybody agrees with in 2018, almost 2019, you got to be a racist, got to be a bigot. I mean, nobody can disagree anymore. Have you noticed that? There's no more rational discussions where people go away, well, you know, I didn't have my mind changed, but I heard a different point of view. You can't do that. If somebody disagrees with you, it's the politics of personal destruction. You know, that can't be good for anybody. Jamie, be careful out there. I'll look forward to hearing from you again. I'm Rick Roberts, and this is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Glad you're along. This is Rick Roberts, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. And, of course, the guys will be back with you on Tuesday. This is the last live show for Red Eye Radio in 2018. and we'll try to get as many of you on as we possibly can. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. This is Linda in Peoria, Illinois. Linda, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi. I got a bone to pick with you.
All right.
Since I found you on the radio, I'm losing a lot of sleep. And it's all your fault.
Well, Linda, I can't help you with that. I'm sorry.
I know, but you're good on this show, and I really enjoy it. Okay, I got a couple of points to make, okay?
Sure.
One, Nancy Pelosi needs to take her posse and go sit down, because I call them a posse. But anyhow, that's not what I called for. I am so tired, like that police officer that had a dream in California, shot to death. Today in Houston, a little girl, somebody opened fire on their car, shot her mother in the arm, but shot her and killed this little seven-year-old that won't go back to school after Christmas vacation. It just goes on and on and on. And somebody, if Pelosi wants to take something up, tell her to go after this. If it was her grandchild, do you think for 1 minute she'd sit there and take it? I don't think so. You know, I got grandchildren, and two of them went to the mall, and there was an enormous fight that broke out in the mall between some blacks. So I told her that if anything happens like that, run in a store, go straight through to the back door, and get out into the back, because that's where the merchandise comes in at. So I told her to run out that back door. But we got, I mean, they run around. A guy was going down the Chicago Expressway. Somebody decided that it would be fun to shoot at him. Well, it went through the windshield and into his head for absolutely no reason. He don't even know these people. This is out of hand. They've got to do something.
Well, yeah, everything is out of hand, Linda. There is no public decorum. That's a term my grandmother used to beat my head. There is no civility. I'm going to follow up on that. Linda, great call. I hope you eventually get some sleep. I really do. Just not during the show. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Thank you so much for being along. Rick Roberts with you while Gary and Eric are out. This is Red Eye's last live show. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley will be back with you live on Tuesday. I know they're looking forward to talking with you. Tuesday night. Already I got the hate stuff coming. Why do you hate Mac? I don't hate Mac. I don't hate anybody. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense. Well, that's not true. People that have demonstrated a lack of character and the behavior that would be detrimental to other people, yeah, you probably hate the way they act, right? Yeah, I've got, by the way, would you like to know who dislikes illegal immigrants more than anyone else? More than anyone else. Aliens that came here the right way. Mostly from Mexico. They came here the right way, stood in line, paid their fees as long as it takes. They did it the right way. So what the Democrats are basically doing, they're giving them the back of their hand. Well, you idiot, you should have just come up in a caravan and we'll take care of you. That's why I'm saying politics has derailed all common sense from America. When you first greet your coworkers in the morning, whether it's the job site or the truck stop or the office or what, you don't say, hey, fellow Democrat, or hey, fellow Republican, what do you think? You don't do that. We don't live our lives that way. You know, all decorum is gone in America. For the most part, it's gone. It may be alive and well in your family, maybe on your block, but people can't agree to disagree anymore. So if you no longer can have a free flow of shared ideas and principles, and then what happens to society? It implodes. The guy with the biggest stick wins, I guess. You know, look, it makes, I don't care who you are, illegal immigration left unchecked will overwhelm anybody, including America. You know, let me tell you this real quick. I'm not going to tell you the store because I don't want them getting on their employees and all that, but I was in a, what do you call it, big box store? Is that what you'd call them? You know, where you can get groceries at one end and everything else between there and where your car is serviced at the other end. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I was looking for one particular thing, and it was kind of a random thing. So I asked two employees, had a little vest on, very nice. They couldn't speak a word of English. That one was able to spell it, so I spelled out what it was. She disappeared and came back with two or three things. None of them happened to be what I spelled. And you know what? I don't blame them. I know my first instinct was, oh, come on. You know, I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm not in Ecuador or Central America anyplace. That was my first instinct. Then I had to check myself. You know, they probably got kids at home that like to eat. I know mine did when they were at home. I can't really hold this against her. I hold it against the employer. You know, if you're going to put someone that can't speak the language in front of other consumers, that's on you. They're simply doing what you're allowing them to do, which is probably make a living and feed their kids. But don't you think you owe it to the Americans? Yes, even immigrants, to have somebody that can at least speak the language so that they can point out something that I can spend my disposable dollar on? I mean, come on. That's just common sense. Let's go to John in Boulder, Colorado. John, thank you for waiting. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, John.
So the caller, the liberal caller cop, just reminded me that I finally do believe in global warming.
Wait a minute. You're calling from the People's Republic of Boulder. And
I am.
And you said that you referenced the guy by saying the liberal cop. How did a conservative or a pseudo-conservative end up in Boulder, Colorado?
I came here from South Florida.
Oh, okay.
So what I've realized is the only reason there is global warming is because the liberals on this planet, wherever you go, there's a bunch of liberals, and they're all spewing so much hot air that their heads are actually getting bigger and floating like a balloon.
Well, it's another cottage industry for Al Gore, though, right?
It is, but I realized they could cure global warming by stopping protesting and just shutting up.
Yeah, unfortunately, that would also negate part of a constitutional right. Did you hear? Let me ask you this before I forget. Did you hear? You know who Jerry Moonbeam Brown is, governor of California?
I do. Yeah, I know who he is.
He's the outgoing governor. He said today that global warming poses as serious a threat as Nazis did in World War II. I'm not making that up. He said it.
But he's the devil we know. The next one is the devil we don't know. I'd like to weigh in. I'm a contractor here, and I am from South Florida, where they actually got rules in construction. When they call it the Wild West here, the only place it is the Wild West is in construction. So what I've realized in Colorado, all of the trades have been taken over by illegals. And not only do they hate us here, they do the worst work I've ever seen anywhere, and the contractors don't care. They don't care, and I believe every contractor in Colorado in roofing really doesn't deserve to be paid for any jobs they're doing. There is actual, on a bundle wrapper of shingles, there's actual directions on how to lay them, and they're overlooked every day. And not only do I blame the contractors and the illegal aliens, I have to blame government because the inspectors don't inspect.
Of course.
In South Florida, you get inspected four inspections for every roof. Every time you fail an inspection there,
the roofer has to pay the rent tag. And what that does is make the rest of your crew mad at you and make you fear for your life and want to do better work. Here, these people just don't care. I mean, you know, I'm a 34-year roofer from a place where they actually force you to do things right.
John, I tell you what, our connection is deteriorating as we speak. But I get what you're saying, and that's been the common thread throughout this. It's not about, well, we just don't like people with skin that's darker than us. I mean, what moron thinks that's even a theory? It's not what's going on. It's not what's happening. But, I mean, these unscrupulous employers, you want to win the bid? Hire illegals. They'll work for anything. You know, number one, you're unscrupulous to your fellow Americans. Number two, you're exploiting another human being for cheap labor. And Democrats, you don't care about a wall. You know, you don't care about anything other than a voting block. You know it, and I know it. And here's the rub. The rest of America knows it. So, you know, stop playing with this. Let's go to Henry. Henry, and not exactly sure where Henry's calling from. Henry, where are you calling from, my friend?
Effingham, Illinois.
Okay, good to have you.
It's a Democrat state, too. liberal. But anyway, in the middle part's not so bad. But they need to learn from the mistakes of their ancestors through the Bible, because the Bible had compounds, and they had all their animals and everything, and they built the compound over a river so they couldn't be forced out of their compound and starved to death from the enemies. And the Syrians actually...
Are you talking about walls in general, whether they work or not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A wall, a compound, they had drawbridges, and they had a wall around it, and they had watchtowers in the evenings to watch it, and their animals would sit down in compounds, and so was their food and their women.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Henry. You know, I hear the Democrats say, well, it's too expensive, it won't work, and since when did Democrats that don't give a rip about border security, when did they become experts on it? You know, I'm inclined to defer to Benjamin Netanyahu, a guy in Israel that gets up every morning fighting in every direction. I'm inclined to agree with him rather than Nancy Pelosi that's setting out on her winery, her vineyard someplace, sipping wine, and a couple guys in white coats come and give her a pill once in a while. I'm more inclined to agree with Netanyahu. They don't know whether it's too expensive. They don't know whether it works. It's just so much political theater. You know what political theater is? It's what you pay for every April. That's what it is. It's political theater. Henry, I appreciate the call greatly. Let's go to Nancy in Athens, Alabama. Nancy, thank you for waiting. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I have a comment to make, then I'll hang up. I had a niece that was 18 years old. It's hard for me to say. And she moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Bought a car, was working in a convenience store, and two illegal aliens came in and murdered her. And it just I can't say that word, but it does. It makes me mad.
So, I would imagine, given the circumstances around your niece's death, it would be very difficult to talk about.
It is. So that's all I have to say. And I mean, I hope this doesn't happen to Nancy Pelosi or any of those other people that, you know, are for this, because she was a young girl, just an innocent girl, trying to buy a car. That's all it was. So that's all I have to say, and I enjoy your show, and hope you have a happy new year.
Well,
thank you.
Nancy, thank you for being so forthright. God's grace on your family, and I'm sure he is with your niece now. So, you know, when it comes right down to it, you know, Nancy, what do you say to a woman like that? Well, I don't know. Chuck Schumer, what do you say to a woman like that? You know, all you open border activists, people die every day. Yeah, some of them are more preventable than others. If you are in, let me put it to you this way. You're from Texas or Chicago or California or Hawaii, whatever, and you travel to France and kill somebody. God forbid. Don't you think most people would look at that and say, you know what, that guy didn't have a visa, he didn't have a passport, had nothing, got here illegally. That should have been prevented. That particular case should have been prevented. You can't stop all murders. You can't stop all accidents But you would think, at the very, very least, you ought to be able to maintain a border to keep a... First of all, you have to realize it's a different culture. You know, I hear these people talking all the time, well, if we're just nice to them, not talking about illegals, but the Middle East, they'll be nice to us. No, they won't. That's not their culture. All right. I'm sorry for your loss, Nancy. I truly am. This is Rick Roberts, and this is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Thank you so much for being along this, the last live show of Red Eye Radio, and we'll try to get your voice out there. And then, of course, Gary and Eric will be back with you Tuesday night. Taking a quick view behind in the year 2018, the White House. Correspondent Bob Constantini, he reports.
2018 year in review, the White House. The president's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn, saw the tax cuts through at the end of 2017 and was one of the first out the door in 2018. There was the Twitter firing of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson.
This can be a very mean-spirited town.
Replaced by the higher-profile style of Mike Pompeo. Spending issues eventually led to the departure of EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. Various ethics investigations brought Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's departure. The day after the midterm elections, President Trump fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
A lot of people have gotten pink slips, I guess, but mine's a little more public.
Never forgiven for recusing himself from the Russia investigation. United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley leaving the post after nearly 2 years. Chief of Staff John Kelly.
We get along well. There are certain things I love what he does, and there are certain things that I don't like.
Limited in bringing discipline to the West Wing, decided to go, and the year ended with the resignation of Defense Secretary James Mattis, who took the president to task for policy decisions. I'm Bob Costantini.
All right. We're going to keep looking back and looking forward. No, the wall is still out there in the atmosphere. The government shutdown continues. What is this, the ninth day? Nothing looks like it's going to happen because we don't have anybody representing us. They represent themselves. They represent their own brands. That's what they do. Time for a change, folks. Dan in Chattanooga. Dan, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you what, you could not imagine how I've enjoyed listening to you for the last, I'm not going to be your follower, but I've enjoyed everything I've listened to.
Well, thank you.
I think we could be twin brothers because we think the same. Now, you hear me? All right, now. I've just got this list of him. You got to know the man to know who he's come from. I had one mother, one father. My father was Special Forces Marine, bad to the bone. Worked every day. Everything was taken care of. We worked hard. We're in Tennessee, yes. But anyway, I appreciate everything you say, and I'm... It's America, and yes, we need to support the border.
Yeah, we need, well, look, there's, I don't know, somehow, some way, maybe when I was sleeping, which I rarely do, somehow it got to be a bad thing to appreciate your language, your culture, your country. And you know what? We still share it with everybody that wants to come. As long as they follow the law. And why are they coming here rather than Ecuador or someplace else? Because we're a nation ruled by law. Do I agree with all of the laws? Of course not. But I can tell you, having traveled extensively abroad, there are some places that aren't bad for a long weekend. But at the end of the day, when it comes to putting your head on the pillow every night, this is where I want to be. And it's because we don't live in total anarchy. It's because we have laws, rules, regulations, guidelines. And there are people out there that just absolutely do not want that. They want open borders. They want us to be, I'm not even sure what they want. Well, I know they want us to be socialist, but I don't see the upside for these people. Other than being obviously a contrarian, what are they getting out of this? I mean, think about that. What are the Democrats getting out of this? Other than a seat at the table of power, what are they getting out of this? They're not getting your appreciation, even you Democrats. They're not getting your appreciation, are they? What have they done for you in the last year? All right, now your national forecast, brought to you by Omnitrax.
A winter storm is taking shape for New Year's Eve. It will bring more heavy rain and a renewed flood threat. The Carolinas will be drenched, as will the north and the rest of the east, later on New Year's Day. But temperatures will be mild in much of the southeast in the 60s and 70s, and in the 40s in the northeast, as New Year's Eve revelers welcome 2019. Rain will spread northward into much of the Mid-South, Ohio Valley, and Mid-Atlantic during the afternoon today, while cold air and snow are in store for the upper Midwest and across the Four Corners. A few strong thunderstorms are also possible in the lower Mississippi Valley. Rain will spread into the northeast during the last few hours of the new year, and parts of northern New England might see rain change over to a rain and snow mix by late Monday. Winds will be gusty across much of the northern and central plains, and in the northeast, winds will pick up by late in the day. And that's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Christopher, thank you very much. I'm going to try to get as many of you on as I possibly can. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I'm Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be in for the guys when they're away. And Gary and Eric will return on Tuesday night. Tuesday evening, they'll be back with you. This is the last live show of 2018, so we're going to try to get as many of you in as we possibly can. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. This is Matt in Illinois. Matt has been extremely patient. Matt, thank you for waiting.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I've got you fine. Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you, Matt.
And everybody in America.
So what's going on,
anyways,
Matt?
Sorry, man.
That's
I've listened to you guys for some time, but I catch you before work, lunch break, and then after work because I work thirds. I'm a lift operator slash unloader at a truck company now, but I was a former carpenter. I still do it off and on. And anyways, 10 years. So, and we had a bunch of storms roll in. It was about a couple years ago. And we had 80 roofs to do ourselves. And then a whole bunch of other companies came in. But I know they were illegals. And one of them got busted for it. And they're in a bunch of stuff now. I don't know if that's all litigated. Anyways. And so I've seen a bunch of the roofing stuff, too. And one of your callers was talking about that earlier.
Right.
And, I was just going to let...
See, here's the thing, Matt. There are laws that exist right now. We don't need new laws that fine and in some cases can imprison employers for knowingly hiring illegals. That I-9 that we've all been through all that, right? But I mean, when was the last time anybody was busted for it? Now, I know we're all paying attention to the wall and the open border crowd. But what about that? What about the laws that exist that say no to unscrupulous employers that want to get the bid, so they lowball on the estimate and knowing that they're going to make it back on the illegal workers that they're hiring at subpar rates? I mean, if there was a political, well, let me just, it's going to upset some people, but if there was any political will to secure the southern border, it would have started about 30 minutes after that second tower fell in New York on 9/11. There is no political will. Too many people are making money, too many people are getting votes, and at the end of the day, your theology, they took God just out of schools, out of government, out of everything they possibly could. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. Government wants you to serve them. Period. End of story. And their new theology is politics. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I'm no theological expert, but I've read the book. I don't think I want to do that. I don't even want to be in that same zip code. The pressure should be put on by the people, number one, for term limits. You don't get to go up there and stay until you fall over. You get to go up for a specified period of time, do a good job. If you do a good job, you can go back home. If you don't, I don't know, maybe go someplace else. Campaign finance reform. We shouldn't be electing people just because they have deep pockets. I mean, like Robert Francis Lucky Charms O'Rourke, the Hispanic Irishman, or at least he wants people to think he is, he raised more money in that Senate run than has ever been raised in the history of America. How? Because they don't really care about Beto O'Rourke. They care about the state of Texas and its electoral votes. If the Democrats can lock in Texas, along with California and New York and a few others, they got a lock on the White House for as long as they want it. See, that's what you need to know. You need to know what they're really doing. Democrats don't care about caravans coming up from Central America. They don't care about walls. They don't care about anything. The only thing they care about is trying to play gotcha with this president. That's it. That's it. They feel they are best served in doing that, not representing you, but doing that. Tim in Michigan, and by the way, Happy New Year. Tim, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing really well, sir. Bless you for what you do for us.
Well, thank you very much.
My topic tonight is, well, I feel extremely blessed that I was born in this country. I don't think there is a rational person anywhere in the world that wouldn't agree that intellectually we are the leaders of the free world. Everyone sends their best and brightest here to be educated. I don't think there's any question that militarily we are the leaders of the free world, both in our armed forces and our intelligence. Unfortunately, our legislators have spent us into economically being a third world country. And I'd like to get your opinion on what we can do as individuals to start taking our country back.
You know, if you I did a rant one. I'm prone to rants from time to time. I did a rant called I Want My Country Back. And all of a sudden, I started getting copies of it in newspapers out of Germany and other places. People, where's the transcript? There is no transcript. It was just off the top of my head. And now, of course, it's on the websites. But at the end of the day, you're right. American exceptionalism is no longer something to aspire to. It's something to be ashamed of. And I refuse to be ashamed of it. And I think most Americans refuse to be ashamed of it. I know when Barack Obama was in office, he went on that, you know, for the first part of his first term, it was on, you know, America's sorry for everything we've ever done to anyone anywhere on planet Earth. You know, there are some cultures that will take advantage of that mindset every single time. The Middle East is one of them. And I know because I did a lot of business there. Yeah, I'm not ashamed that America is a superpower. I'm not ashamed of American exceptionalism. And if we have politicians in office that want to throw open the borders and make us a third world country for one reason and one reason alone, which is so they can get the votes to keep their seat at the table of power in the nation's capital, vote them out. Vote them out. What we can do on a daily basis, my friend, is simply this, and it starts at a city, a county, a state, and eventually a federal level. Don't tell me what you're going to do. I've had enough of lip service. Show me what you've done. Well, I haven't had a chance. Well, when you do something, you come back and run for this office. No longer can we say, well, I agree with him. Well, what did he do? Well, he didn't do anything. He said something. That's not good enough. And Americans shouldn't take that as an excuse to cast a vote for them. They shouldn't do it.
Well, I'm a small business owner, and I've registered my companies in the Cayman Islands. My outlook at this point is I have done everything right all my life and got to be 65 and said, why? Why should I give any more money to this government when they're just going to waste it?
Well, I can't answer that. I can tell you this. The last thing you want to do is get sideways with the IRS. Because my grandfather used to tell me, God rest his soul, Rick, it's not enough to be right. And of course, as a kid, I was like, what? What are you talking about? If you're right, you're right. That's all you need. And as I got older, I realized he was absolutely correct. It's not enough to be right. You have to be able to deal with things at all levels, in every situation. And, you know, hopefully you got a good CPA or somebody, because if you're doing something off the books, they will get you.
I am not doing anything off the books, and my current attorneys and CPAs and legal advisors, the whole nine yards, are the $5,000 an hour suits down there on Pennsylvania Avenue. I didn't put these laws on the book, but I'm certainly going to take advantage of it.
Hey, listen, Tim, I'm not being accusatory. I'm just saying, if in fact it works for you, it's within the law, then more power to you. Absolutely. But you've heard these people, well, it's not even legal, you don't have to pay taxes. Really? Well, there are a lot of people in minimum security prisons for a long time that thought that same thing. I mean, there's a reason that people come here.
They went about it in the wrong way, listening to, the people that read the book. Is more than a nice thing. Well, anyway, thank you so much for taking my call, and I hope to see you and talk to you at the EAA convention.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it very, very much. Look, we're a nation ruled by law, and if some of those laws can work for you financially, then so be it. But, man, be sure you know what you're doing. Make sure you got the right attorneys, the right CPAs, all of that. You know, the last thing you want to do is to get sideways with the IRS. They don't mess around. You know, you'll get a, who is it? Just answer the door. It's the IRS. You don't want that. I promise you. Good call. I appreciate it very much. Let's go to Phil in Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city. How you doing, Phil?
How you doing, sir? God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener, a disabled veteran, 25 years in military service.
Well, thank you very much for your service. I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. I'm a son of an immigrant that came across the ocean on the boat. As far as the border is concerned, everybody needs to be aware that that is a coordinated attack on the United States of America, orchestrated by George Soros. And if anybody has ever seen the YouTube videos with a professor who's referring the immigration issue to gumballs, please look at this video. It's the gumball video about immigration. If we have been warned about these issues since the 70s.
Well, Phil, I would suggest this if you get a chance. Zachary Taylor, no, not the politician from hundreds of years ago. Zachary Taylor was a former Border Patrol supervisor, Zachary Taylor, and it's quite lengthy. I've got it, and I've played it on my show during the day. But he points to everything that's going on now at the border that went on 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, as a matter of asymmetrical warfare. If you get a chance, I would just Google search or Yahoo or Bing or whatever, Zachary Taylor, Asymmetrical Warfare. It's a very interesting piece. You know, I don't buy hook, line, and sinker everything I get off the internet. No one should. But if you vet some of the things he says through other sources, which is what I do for the show, I think you'll find it extremely, extremely interesting and more than just a little eye-opening. Phil, thank you for your service. I appreciate it. He's calling from Reno, Nevada. I have a story, very quick, I'll give you, and we'll take your calls as well. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. On this, the last live show of 2018, the guys will be with you Tuesday night. So be sure and tune in for that. Man, I got to tell you, I'll tell you in just a minute. A guy called from Reno, Nevada. I used to do a morning show, and then I'd do an afternoon show. That was hit all of Lake Tahoe and Reno and Las Vegas and all that. And I got a call from a vet that'd been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He was a regular listener to the show. He would call in from time to time, and he was just a great guy. And because they left him waiting in line, literally, at the VA, we finally called the VA and shamed them into seeing him, and by that time it was too late. He'd already been waiting for 2 years to see a doctor, and when the sheriff's deputy arrived, he was still listening to the show, having taken his own life in his pickup. I sent copies of that show to Washington, D.C., asking, okay, somebody there, give me an excuse, any excuse, as to why this happened. Couldn't do anything. His name was Billy, by the way. Couldn't do anything for Billy, but they did institute some changes at the local VA. It was just a very, very sad thing. All right, listen. Your calls coming up straight ahead. I promise you that. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.